Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where we're shooting the shit with elected officials and candidates running for office to get to know the person beyond the politics.
Because politicians needed a rebrand. We both just like froze. We're like, what do we do? I guess
guys,
like, that's the post-break brain.
It's really bad. It's so weird how literally a few days in a row just totally like changes your world. Like not in like necessarily a good or a bad way, but like in a way where like when you come back, you're like, what do I do for work? What do I do?
Who am I? What's my name? How old am I?
We are coming back with a really strong episode, and I'm so excited because this is the episode that's going to bring Madison Blue and Jack Harlow together, which if y'all have been with us for a minute, you know we've been trying to ship this for time immemorial.
We ship it. It's been shipped, and we're just waiting for the ship to come in to the bay, to the pier.
Harbor?
To the harbor, to the dock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about Jack Harlow today because we are talking to a congressman from Louisville. And I, of course, had to ask, like, do you know Jack Harlow? And he does, and he's had lunch with him, has his kids have met him, and he had nothing but literally the most glowing things to say about Jack and things that I already just knew intuitively that was mm-hmm. true about him. That's why I've had feelings for him for so long.
They're dead.
And just hearing like from another person, you know, just someone raving about your spouse, it feels good. And it feels like I've been affirmed, like I chose a good one. And mm-hmm. I'm just proud of him that he's leaving that impression on not only our nation's congressmen, but their children as well.
See, you know what the best part of this entire thing is? As we just said, it's important. This is possibly the one time in which you sound Delulu and I sound sane.
Listen, I know I sound Delulu. I don't care what people say, but I am committed to marrying Jack Harlow one day. And when it happens, everyone's going to be like, no fucking way.
No, literally. We're manifesting. We're figuring it out. I don't know. There is going to be... Look, I am convinced somewhere deep down that I'm a Yenta and that I love connecting people, like whether it's work or other things. And I like have gotten out of the Yenting of relationships, mostly because they failed. And that's on me. But I...
Then don't come near me. Don't come near me in my relationship.
But I feel like this could be an interesting...
No, you know what? I don't want you near it. I don't want you meddling
come
in my
on.
Relationship. It's in God's
He's
hands.
So bad. Okay, well, another thing that's in God's hands is this fucking election.
Ain't it? Ain't it? Yeah, guys, we did decide to go off. I mean, everyone went on vacation during potentially the craziest year. I mean, what? Craziest week of this whole year in politics, which, good Lord, it's been an absolute shit show, madness. And I was trying so hard to unplug while in Montana. It was beautiful, by the way, everyone, whoever was wondering. But it was hard. It was hard to unplug because everything was hitting the fan. All the shit.
Yeah, right from the rodeo. Like, boom.
Literally.
There was. No, seriously, truly crazy. I also was trying to sort of tune it out because they also feel like, and I was having a conversation with someone about this today. There is so much going on with like that circus of things, which is an important circus, like not to negate it by any means. And there's some serious conversations to be had. But there are also so many candidates and campaigns that we need to be proactive and like paying attention to, too. Like just because that's going on doesn't mean like, hey, like, don't forget about like the state races near you or your congressional races or Senate. And there's just so much else to be had. So if you are like, I want to be a little proactive, I want to still feel like I, you know, can do something, to protect democracy as we deal with the will he, won't he Biden scenario, I highly recommend some of our episodes with candidates and elected officials. And I will say that is the really the big thing though, that like keeps like, you know, I just always like relate everything to like dating or pop culture. And I just really feel like the Biden situation is like we're watching some sitcom, maybe not sitcom, like some reality show of like, will they, won't they? You know what I mean? It's like so like,
it's so that trope. Yeah. And I've, and you know, I, it's similar to dating is because of all the gaslighting that's happening.
That,
because they're just trying to make us seem so fucking crazy for being concerned over that debate performance. It was obviously concerning. I know that the White House has acknowledged that as well, but to think it was just some bad performance is just, you're gaslighting me. You know, it's a little more than that. And there is probably an hour plus conversation that can be had about all of this. Regardless, we have two very different futures ahead of us, like we've talked about on this show. And that still remains the same, no matter who our nominee ends up being. Like, we need a guns a-blazing against MAGA. So whatever that takes and whoever that is, like, your girl's on board. I'm here. I'm riding till we die. But yeah, I mean, it's just been, it's what's so frustrating to me is that we have potentially the easiest opponent like of all time. Obviously the man won in 2016, but the world, our country and the world has learned that we don't want him. I think we've shown that over the past couple elections, the midterms, we've been fighting back against the movement that he's created. And I think that we have so many people, like honestly, myself and you included, that could run and debate that man and like completely crush his ass.
Yep.
But we're just like shooting ourselves in the foot, unfortunately. Not because Biden sucks, because he's been an incredible president and has passed so many amazing things and clearly has shown he can do the job. But if people are this concerned, like that's what,
yeah,
that needs to be heard. That needs to be listened to, you know?
I think that's the biggest thing, is the fact that it feels like, at least from my vantage point, that they're not listening and he's not listening to what the actual like post-debate scenario and landscape is. Like, it really went from one to like a totally different reality overnight with that debate. The first 3 minutes of that debate changed everything. And I think they don't understand. And I especially like two different things. One, I feel like, hold on, let me just back it up. Three different things. One, they do not understand that at all, or seem to like be downplaying it and putting it out in these like op-eds of like, we're gonna fight back with the elitists, blah blah blah. It's like, it's not that. It's every normal person that tuned into that debate.
That's what's so frustrating.
Holy shit. Like, this is
like,
not...
it's all the big Dems, it's the donors.
It's not.
Like, no, it's them. Sure. There's definitely pushback from them for like honestly the first time all cycle. But there's been a huge, huge chunk of voters who literally actually weren't surprised as much as politicos were surprised at that debate performance. Everyone else was like, yeah, we know he's old. We've been saying that. We've been frustrated that this is our guy for so long. So there is like that group of voters and real people who are like, A, we've already felt this way, or maybe there's not that. And that group has only grown, you know? And it's like, it's not just those elites. It's not just the donors. It's a big, big, big group of people and the voters that you need to be excited to go vote in November.
And the people that I feel like I've gotten that feedback the most from are the moderate to conservative Dem into independent and previously Republican or normally Republican or never Trumpers. Like, those are the people that are the most worried, and because they know their voters and like their demographic so specifically, they know like their sister that also is like leaning more Republican, but like isn't going to vote for Trump, but now feels this way. So the fact that that's where it's coming from, like this seemed coming from like the progressive wing of the party. This is coming from like the part of the party he really needs. So first of all, that worries me. Second of all, and I was asked this randomly yesterday as well in this conversation about things of like, well, like, what should he do? What is he doing now that like he's missing? And I'm like, he should be doing town hall. He should be asking voters, having a town hall with a bunch of voters asking, okay, like if my age is concerned, like what about that concerns you? Like showing that feedback loop and making
just showing
sure
that he can speak
listens.
To people on the spot too, which is like a big concern of people being like, okay, on these teleprompter speeches, he's doing okay, but put him in like a live forum. how are you doing, Joey? Yeah, it's just frustrating because, again, like, I think he has been an amazing president. I'm happy, honestly, to vote for him and his administration again. Yes. But I just worry about our voting base and whether they're going to feel confident in voting for our guy. And, like, again, against not only someone who I think is very easy to defeat, like an extreme right candidate who has shown his colors before and has literally also shown us his plan for 2025 and beyond. Like, that seems really easy to me to get people on board to vote against him. There's this ego potentially around, like, thinking that he's the only one that can beat him. Like, I think he's the only one that could lose to him potentially.
No, that's an interesting way to put it. And I don't necessarily disagree. And I also think what I frustrate myself and I think a lot of other people is the fact that we have a slate of rising star Dems that, including our vice president, that would absolutely slay. Like, Kamala, slay. Everyone knows I'm K-Hive. So, like, let's be real. K-Hive. Like, we know. But, like, I mean, look, there's worries with every single one of them, I think. In their own regard, right? It's always like always. That risk.
No
but
perfect,
like,
candidate.
That's PDB. Like, I'm sorry, he's just precious. I would love to see, honestly, Kamala and PDB.
Is our country ready for gay, black, and woman? Doubtful. That's the trifecta that I don't know that our country's ready for.
But I just want to paint that, okay?
Of course. It sounds like a dream to me. But
thank you.
To my conservative uncle out in Montana, potentially no.
Yeah, wait, did you have any political conversations when you were
so it was interesting to be also in Trump land last week during what was such a mind fuck of a political week, to be surrounded by a lot of Trump signs, a lot of just like typical kind of like hick country. It was a weird combo, to say the least.
Yeah, that is gotta be like a total mind fuck. Like, what reality am I living in? And like, I hear you. Like, it is interesting. I will say I have yet to see a Trump scenario where it doesn't give cult, which, not that we don't like harp on that every which way, but like every single time I see something, it's not just like, oh, they have like one little sticker. It's 15 flags in every different font. And I'm like, how did we really spent the money on this?
Oh my God, the merch that I saw, like, and at the rodeo, so many Let's Go Brandon things. So just across the entire trip, Let's Go Brandon was like number one merch item that I saw. I saw a couple fuck Biden flags, which is just like dramatic, like, calm down. And third was Trump is innocent. I saw that one at the rodeo. Just some classics, you know, some classics.
But
to round out that conversation too, I just want to like, you know, right now, Biden's our guy. And you know who's also our nominee is Kamala Harris. And we need to uplift her. The rhetoric and the dialogue around Kamala, especially in the last week, of like, who should replace Biden, yada, yada. And everyone either looked over her, or when she was brought up, it was, I don't like her, or people don't like her, with literally no reasons why. And it's just like the misogyny and racism was blatant. And it's just like, we'd rather put up like an old white guy because we're scared of putting up a woman of color. And that's just like sad, and especially sad from our party, who's supposed to be leading and putting, you know, more diverse people at the forefront. So I just think,
she speaks
like,
facts.
Sorry, I'm going off. But yeah, I just, Kamala, keep raising her up. Keep sharing that coconut tree trend, because people love it and it's just a vibe. And just, if you see more on her, like, share it. Tell your friends about Kamala and how great she is and how she's fucking helping us and shouting from the rooftops how much we deserve reproductive rights and how she's going to fight for them. Like, tell your friends. Keep boosting Kamala. We need her if we're going to get Biden to win. And if Biden ends up stepping down, she's going to be our girl, and she needs to be raised up.
Yeah, and to that point, I just finished her book, and highly recommend. Like, I know I was chatting about it at some point on the show about it. And like the first two chapters are a little like, because she was campaigning for president when she wrote it. It's a little like campaigning, whatever. Like, okay, yeah. Like, you know, clean cut. But then she talks about policy. She talks about like Medicare for all. She talks about immigration. She like also like really paints the picture of like what it was like being a senator during the Trump administration. And it just the amnesia we seem to all have. Like, it really was weird, like reading back. But besides that, like some of the things she's accomplished, oh my fucking God. I mean,
yeah.
Prosecutor on fire, obsessed, absolutely just we stand. And mm-hmm. I highly recommend the read. It's a good one. Like, do it.
Yeah.
Learn it.
Maybe, and the thing is the people who think that they don't like her, it's literally because it's like every time there's a powerful woman coming through the ranks in the Democratic Party, the right, especially in Fox News, like literally spent decades trying to disarm them. Hillary was one of them. Another woman who like has a great track record, but people were like, I don't know why, I just don't like her. It's like, think about it.
Literally.
Think about it. This is also men and women. The internalized misogyny is real. But yeah, I just, what a week it's been. And again, we are going to ride till we die for whoever is our Democratic nominee. And I think we can do it either way. But it's just, I think right now, not really having a true leader and not knowing what the fuck's going to happen. It's like, it's a scary place to be given the stakes of this election. You know, if we were running against Mitt Romney, I'd be like, we're being dumb, we're going to lose, whatever. But like, it's like, truly, we don't have that option. We don't have that privilege. So here we are.
A fucking amen to that. I also want to like give people a little like space of hope. And if you're yes. new here, like, this is really for you. If you're not new here, you're like, guys, like, we know. In our newsletter, The Gov Hub, we have a section called Good News Bears, and it is all good news political stories, like things that actually happen, like good governance, like actual accomplishments that, like, they're real, they're happening. And you might not hear about them enough, or you hear about them for a blimp, or you don't work in politics, but you listen to this show, and like, it's, you're not in the depths and the weeds of it, so you might not hear about it because of that. Whatever, we feature them every Monday. It's always like a mix, some stuff that's new coming off the weekend, some stuff that might have gotten missed the week before, coming up, all the things. So if you're feeling like, oh my God, everything is the absolute woe, subscribe to the GovHub.
And if your friends are feeling that way, like, that's another share just it. Like crucial thing is like, so many people are frustrated and just disengaged because of what we have in front of us right now. And it's like, this good news is so important to share with people. Like, it's seriously imperative, and we are listing it out every week for you of like what good shit's going on. So tune in for yourself and your own mental health, but also like share it with as many people as you know, because it's like important that we all see like what's possible when we vote for good people.
Exactly. I mean, so, I actually got a DM compliment about it, which was like really nice, contrasting with some of the
Yeah, we got a really weird one, which Sam put on our story, but it'll probably be gone by when everyone listens to this, which don't. Like, honestly, don't look at it. It's disgusting.
No, I had to walk around my house for, like, literally, like, maybe 15 minutes to a half hour going, I, like, need a shower after it. Like, it was disgusting. But nonetheless, usually I don't look, which we talk about in our story, too. Like, it just... So if you comment something and you're like, oh, like, why don't they engage? Like, we just literally can't look at our comments because they're so out of pocket. Like, doesn't even begin to cover it that, like, we just can't. So just know, like, if you're sending something nice, like, we love you and we appreciate you.
Yeah. Sending our love here.
Yeah. XOXO.
Well, something else that is should give you hope is honestly this interview. We talk about bipartisanship. We talk about amazing things, including Jack Harlow. So I feel as though we should get into it.
We should. So in case you haven't got it from what we've been chit-chatting about, our interview is with Congressman McGarvey. He had the congressman out of Kentucky, so the Louisville area.
Louisville. Oh. It's actually, I think, like, Louisville is supposed to, like, choke you when you say it.
I mean,
you're supposed to be, like, gagging when you say it.
Female, Louisville. Look at the shirt that I'm wearing, too. Everybody being choked to death by.
Yeah,
if you want to see what shirt I'm being choked to death by, go look at our YouTube. There you go. This is our end for that. Thank you so much. Anyways, moving right along to this episode with Congressman McGarvey. Here he is. Without further ado, let's get into it. What if I told you that the fate of democracy hinges on vibes? That's the concept behind the podcast from our friends at Courier called Vibes Only. What they're getting at is most of us don't have the time to study policy proposals and economic reports all day. No, like literally. But we do have our vibes and how we feel about the direction of the country.
So in this election where democracy is on the ballot, co-hosts Brian Derrick and Glynis Mahar are committed to checking the vibes of American politics every week and bridging the divide between facts and feelings. It's funny, it's informative, and it'll make you better prepared for the election this fall. Listen and subscribe to Vibes Only wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, we were just talking about boomer moments, which really I feel like it's been the theme for us this summer. I don't know, you know, about you, because technically, like, we first came across you pre-Congress when you were representing in Kentucky in the state. So can you tell us about that transition a little bit of like going from state ledge to Congress and what either made that harder, easier, you know, how did that all sort of flush itself out?
Yeah, I mean, I started in the state Senate. I served in the state Senate in Kentucky for 10 years, and I loved it. State legislatures are so much fun. And for anybody listening or watching, it's also a great way to get involved because your state legislators are so accessible. So you're talking about the transition. One thing in Kentucky, our state legislature, it's not technically full-time. So we're in session for like the first three and a half months of the year. And then we have committee meetings, but we can't actually pass bills. But then also, we can't hire or fire staff in the state Senate in Kentucky. So they have what they call the merit system. So when you go, you get an office, and then you share an assistant with other senators, and you can't hire or fire that assistant.
What?
So like people would, you know, I can't tell you how many times I'd be in my office and people call and I'd pick up the phone and they'd just go, I wasn't expecting to get you. I mean, when you engage with your local legislators so many times, you're really getting them. When you email your local legislature, when you call them, you're getting them. And so part of the transition was all of a sudden I'm going from that office, again, which I loved. State senators represent about 120,000 people in Kentucky. And it's fun work. It's fast-paced work. But it's really a do-it-yourself environment. And so I think one of the things that was tough about coming to Congress is the area is so much bigger. The job is so much more high profile. And then for me, you build a team. And what I didn't really appreciate about coming to Congress is, unlike the state Senate, you have to do your entire team. It's like starting a small business. We had to write our own employee handbook. So, you know, you have federal minimums and maximums, but you decide your sick policy. You decide work from home policy. You decide sort of the dress and the attire and all the things that go into an HR handbook for the office. I went from having, you know, an assistant that I shared with another senator. And that's because I only shared it with her with one other senator because I'd moved into leadership. So, right, instead of having a third of an assistant, I had a half of one. And, you know, I went here and we've got, I think, 10 people in my DC office right now. We've got 8 full-time in my district office. We have 4 part-time employees, and you've got to staff up. So you get elected in November, you start in January, and you're trying to build a team of 20 people in 2 cities. And that, you know, that's just a huge transition and change.
That is crazy. I can't believe that y'all had to share assistants. Like, that's the part that blows my mind. Do you ever have
situations? What's the point at that point?
Yeah, almost like a do-it-yourself situation.
Yeah. So I'm talking from my DC office now. We're the only people in here. And look, it's not a huge office and there's 10 of us in here, but it's our office. I think the other thing, like in state legislature in Kentucky, you have office suites. So you walk into the suite and then you go to your office. But there are, you know, 5, 6, sometimes more people in that office suite with you. So a lot of times the assistants sit out front. And members they're helping, the 2, 3, 4 members they're helping are back in their offices. And yeah, it's a wild way of doing things.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, as Sam and I like to say, like, we're not good at admin. So that just would not work for us simply. But I'm curious too, what part of Kentucky do you represent?
Yeah. So born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky, and represent Louisville as well.
So I'm obsessed with Jack Harlow. I don't know if you've met him yet. I don't know if you're neighbors with him, if you know anyone.
I've gotten to know him a little bit. And Louisville's like the smallest big city in America. And so everybody knows everything and everybody knows everybody. So, you know, knew Jack Harlow's mom a little bit and they have a great small business in Louisville, Kentucky. And then got to know Jack. And I'll tell you, I don't want to ruin his street cred or anything like that. He's like the nicest guy ever, truly the nicest girl. And he's such a great thing for our hometown because he is making Louisville cool. He's so talented and he's so down to earth. He spends a lot of his time in Louisville. He's, you know, he's connected to people from home. One quick, funny Jack Harlow story. I was taking my kids to meet him, and we've got three kids. We have twins who are going into the seventh, and then we have a five-year-old who's a baller. And so this is last year, year and a half ago, Jack was doing something in town. And so I surprised the kids and took them with me so they could meet him. And of course, the kids who are going into seventh grade are just completely starstruck. And they want proof of the encounter. And so I had some little piece of paper. I said, you can go get an autograph. And so you know, my firstborn, I guess they're both kind of firstborn, but like the one who actually was born first acts like a firstborn. And she goes up to him and goes, Mr. Harlow, please have your autograph. You know, he's just so nice. He's so great with kids. I mean, he's just a super nice guy. And then my son goes up to her twin brother and, you know, Mr. Harlow, please have your autograph. And I look back and the four-year-old, who's just a baller, has taken the piece of paper and is holding, you know, I don't know if you know how like little kids hold pens. It's like this, right?
Yeah.
She's holding it with her fist and she starts as carefully as she can. And she's like moving it around. And I just look at it. She's tried to write her name. It says Greta. She looks at him. She goes, here you go. And walks off.
Oh my God. What an icon. What was his reaction? You're making me fall more in love with him. Oh my God.
He loved it. Of course he loved it. Right. I mean, he's like, yeah, he's a funny guy. I've had lunch with him. He's super funny, super nice, super talented. You know, we can't have a better ambassador for Louisville right now.
Sam, I'm like, you know, I'm great. Just absolutely blushing over here.
See, I also think he's going to flip Brian, but here we go.
No, Jack is my one and only. But I think he's also going to flip Kentucky blue one day. I think he's going to help us do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, one of the things what I like about him, because I think one thing you appreciate in politics, and when you get to even this level of politics, we are like the lowest form of celebrity, right? But it gives you some appreciation of what real celebrities probably go through. And so, you know, I know how many people he meets. I know how many people he comes in contact with. And so, you know, to meet a celebrity is not that big a deal, especially if it's just once or twice, because, you know, it might not mean all that much to them, even though it means a lot to you. It might not mean all that much to them. And what I like about Jack Harlow is that I think he really does care every time he meets somebody. And I think he really does take every interaction seriously. And what I like about him in terms of like actually getting to know him a little bit, how much he does care about the world around him and the people around him. And it's not, he is no way, shape or form a superficial celebrity, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I
That's
love that.
And it's about him.
Here we go. But this is like why I think celebrity and politics sometimes is like such an interesting combination. And we always ask, and if there were a celebrity, maybe it's Jack Harlow, maybe it's someone else that you would love to work with on an issue. Who would that be? And what would that issue be?
Oh, great question.
Gotta be Jack.
That might be, look, I can't, I mean, I got to say Jack Harlow now, right? I'll say Jack Harlow and making Louisville truly live up to its potential. I'm so high on Louisville. We're a cool city with cool things going on. We've got all four seasons. We're near a huge fresh water source. We have bourbon and bourbonism. I mean, like there are a lot of cool things going on. Other celebrities I would love to meet. I'm a music guy, so I love music. And somebody who I think is just phenomenally talented right now is Jason Isbell. And I really appreciate that he's also a Southern guy who is advocating for progressive causes, because I think we get overlooked so much in the national political landscape. And so I appreciate not only that he has this incredible talent, that he's producing amazing music, but he's not afraid to talk about his politics, that he's not afraid to get out there on issues like reproductive rights, that he's not afraid to talk about things like climate change and democracy and their importance, that he's actually willing to help out and push those causes forward. And so, you know, getting the chance to work with him, I think would be really cool.
Literally love, and also we'll be checking out all the music after this. I am curious because states like Kentucky, for example, get overlooked in terms of getting shit done, but they actually do. And whether it's at the national or even obviously at the state level. And I'm curious about the state of bipartisanship, right? Like, we feel like oftentimes like this doesn't exist, but obviously it does, because otherwise nothing would ever happen. And so I'm curious what your perspective is on it, from working in the state Senate to like now working in Congress. Like, what is the reality of bipartisanship? Is it dead? Is it alive? Like, where are we at?
I think that's a fantastic question. And I've never served a day of my life in the majority. So I was in the minority the entirety of my time in the state Senate. I'm in the minority now in Congress. So, I mean, really, if we want to get anything done, we have to have at least some agreement from the other party. Otherwise, there's not enough of us. I'll answer your question like sort of several ways, I hope, come together in a coherent manner. First of all, I don't think bipartisanship means to agree. I think bipartisanship means the willingness to listen, because, you know, none of us are ever going to agree on anything all of the time. But if we're actually willing to sit down and listen to people and hear their concerns and be sincere about it, then I think you can start crafting solutions where you can get agreement. I'll give you an example of one from my time in the state Senate. In 2015, the Supreme Court says, rightly, in my opinion, that everyone can get married. And we finally have marriage equality in this country, which is an awesome thing. And you guys might not remember it, but in Kentucky, we had a county clerk named Kim Davis, who famously refused to marry people even after the Supreme Court's decision, literally went to jail for not marrying people. When she got out, you know, you had like Mike Huckabee standing on a stage with her and was sort of the center of that conservative movement for a while. Well, then we come into session in 2016 in the Kentucky General Assembly. At that time, we have a Democratic House and a Republican Senate. But the Democratic House is definitely a conservative Democratic House in Kentucky at that time. And so, you know, I talk about state legislatures, that's where the rubber meets the road a lot of the time. And so what the Supreme Court has done in legalizing marriage, now we have to take on to a state context and say, how are we going to handle this new reality? We have to change our marriage forms. Well, the senator from Kim Davis's district decides that he's going to come up with separate but equal marriage license forms, two marriage license. We've been down the road of separate but equal before. It is disastrously discriminatory. It is never going to work. And this is like where you want to pull your hair out, but you also want to get things done and not have Kentucky in the headlines for all the wrong reasons and not have people be discriminated against and feel marginalized. And so I went to all my colleagues, right? I started going to my colleagues, not on social media, not in front of the press, not calling the names online, but saying, why do you want this? Why does this matter to you? And I started hearing the same things over and over and over again, which was they always said their constituents wanted their daughters, and it was always their daughters, to be identified as a bride on their marriage certificate. Okay. Right. I mean, I don't even know where my marriage certificate is, but, you know, but look,
I'm like, that's relevance?
That's what you want. You know, when you go get your marriage certificate, you want to be identified as a bride. Like, we can do that. And so by listening to people, you know, I was actually able to come up with a solution and form an alliance where I created what I call the middle school note solution for Kentucky's marriage license form, which was one form, circle one, bride, groom, or spouse. You get to identify how you want to be on your marriage certificate. We don't care. We just need the accurate records.
Be peasy.
And so we were actually able to get that done. And it came as a result of having those real conversations. And what I see right now in Washington is the people who are dominating conversations with the loudest voices are the most divisive. Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of common in the era of Donald Trump. His brand of politics is fueled on hatred and division and chaos. But there's another 400, 390 of us here who want to move things forward. And so we have to continue to fight back against this extremism that we're seeing. So again, not that we're always going to agree, but that we can listen to each other and move things forward. You've seen it happen even some since I've been in Congress. We didn't default on the country's debt because the Democrats and Republicans came together to stop it from happening. We provided aid to Ukraine because the Democrats and Republicans came together to keep the world safe and project American strength. We passed a budget and didn't have a government shutdown because Republicans and Democrats came together. And so it is still possible, but I think we're at a hinge point this November, and we've got to go the right way.
For sure. Just those easy little tweaks and the things that can come from just having real conversations with people is such an important just political lesson, I think, across the board of just like, let's hear each other out for a second. And I'm sure there's common ground we can find. So hearing that in action, I think, is great to hear for both of us. But I'm sure all of our listeners who can get probably frustrated with all of the discourse out there. You also focus a lot on small businesses and legislation around that. Can you kind of explain legislatively and especially federally how, you know, Congress can help pass legislation that is beneficial to small businesses?
Yeah, yes. Small businesses are the backbone of the American economy. It's the biggest part of our economy. And it's a great way to come together on issues too, because every congressional district, I mean, from Maine to Alaska, has a small business that is doing great things in their community. I think this is another area where it's important to listen. Go talk to your small businesses. Find out what they need. Go visit your small businesses. See what they're going through. See what they're complaining about. And so, you know, I think there's several things we can do to help. One, you know, in meeting with one of my small businesses this year, we put forward a bill that has passed the House that really helps people who are differently abled and disabled get help in starting a business. There's so many great programs out there, but there's barriers that they have to overcome that, you know, I think people who've written these laws and regulations haven't always thought about. And so getting that practical experience and making it so that everybody has a shot at the American dream is really important. Same as we continue to look at traditionally marginalized and disadvantaged communities, there still exists disparity. We have to level the playing field. We have to make sure that every person who wants to start a business is able to do so and have access to the capital they need when they've got a good business plan and ready to get a start. So I think, you know, listening to the small businesses, understanding what they're going through, finding policies here that really actually help, not hurt, are super important. And I think we can continue to do it.
Totally. And I love that because we're a small business as well, obviously. And it is really interesting seeing the barriers that like we face sometimes getting into things or expanding versus even my friends that work at companies of 50 people and more. And just knowing that someone's actually listening to small business owners and hearing that. And I know like for us, one of our biggest challenges, you know, while I have you as our audience, obviously, is just the fact that it's really hard to find information about like what you need to do as a business, whether it's filing your taxes correctly or figuring out like what needs to be like a checklist to starting a business. It's really all over the place. And there's no concise guide to being like, hey, like this is what you need to do if you're going to start like a LLC or this like as like an S corp or anything like that. It's all piecemeal. And so it's really, really, really hard to start a business when it's like, there's not even a good starting point. You're just like, I have this idea, like, let's pray to God that I don't fuck it up and end up in jail. Like that's kind of the small business mentality. So if there's any legislation out there that could maybe be created to streamline that, just throwing that idea on your desk.
Well, I love that. And sometimes you say legislation, even what I'm thinking is like, that might be able to be something we can accomplish without legislation. And that's why it's right. So important. Like, so I'm going to take that idea to the SBA, to the Small Business Administration. And the first question on this is, can you guys do something about this, right? Without having to pass a law, can you guys, I'm hearing from wonderful small business owners that, you know, this is really, because we know it's hard to start a business. Anybody who thinks it's easy, it is so hard and it is all consuming. And there's little things we can do like that to make it easier. Where, yeah, those resources are available. You're not born knowing what an LLC is and the difference in the tax structures between that and a PSC and an S corp and those. So yeah, that's a great idea. I love that idea.
Yeah, there you go, Sam.
Well, Slay,
you're just making moves, making things happen, moving and shaking. I was wondering, especially now as a newer congressman, what do you think is like one of the biggest misconceptions about Congress? And this can be on like any level, whether it's like processes, people, norms, whatever it may be. I'm curious, what was the biggest like, whoa, this is not what I thought?
That's interesting, because so I came into this a little bit differently because I had experience as a legislator. So one of the misconceptions is that all we do is fight. And I tell people that unfortunately or fortunately, most of the coverage of Congress or a legislative body is like NASCAR coverage. You know who crosses the finish line and you know who got in a wreck. And that's about all you know if you just watch the highlights. People here do get along a lot better than most would think. That, you know, most of the people I run into here really are here They are running for the same reason. We want to continue to move America forward and be a leader in the world and you know, and continue to do great things. And so I think that's kind of a misconception that, of what's happening up here. Part of it is because of some of the loudest voices we have, particularly right. in MAGA movement. But I think most people really do are here to get things done.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious too, from a newish to DC perspective, if you were telling someone that's going to visit, like what they should check out, what should that be? And then also same with Louisville too. Like, what should someone check out there? What is like the number one thing to put on their agenda?
So DC, I think it's easy. No one here is embarrassed by the touristy stuff. If you've not been to the Capitol, it's amazing. I mean, every time I walk through the rotunda, still I look up and see.
I second that.
It is incredible. And it's yours. It's your government. It's your building. Like, you know, come see it. If you're able to schedule a White House tour, then the history in there is amazing. The monuments are awesome. I think the monuments are super cool at night too. And so, you know, that's a really cool thing to do. The museums in DC, the Smithsonian's have the reputation of being awesome because they're awesome. So, you know, I think for DC, if you're coming here and are missing why this town exists, you know, then you should see those things. For Louisville, there's some obvious ones. You know, the Kentucky Derby is the best horse race in the world. Go see a horse race at Churchill Downs. It's a really cool thing to do. You know, we're the bourbon capital of the world in Kentucky. 95% of the world's bourbon is made in Kentucky. The bourbon trail going to all the different distilleries is super cool. You learn about it. You get to have tastings. They're in beautiful settings. All are in or around Louisville. So, you know, come to Kentucky and see our bourbonism. Louisville itself is like a sneaky good foodie town. And we've got some great restaurants. So, you know, come check it out. And I think, you know, if you're coming to Louisville and you see the bourbon, you see the horses, and you check out kind of our culinary and local business scene, you're going to have a good time.
Those are like three of my favorite things. So right.
Plus Jack Harlow. We need to get you to Louisville is what I'm hearing.
Plus Jack Harlow. I was going to like maybe offline. You got to tell me what this business is that his mother runs so I can go bombard it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We've loved talking to you. Is there somewhere where people can stay in touch with you, just follow along with your work, just plug all the things?
Yeah, check us out on social media. You know, it's weird. I think people don't realize this. If you go to our official accounts, which you should, we do put a lot of good stuff out on our official accounts. We can't do political stuff from there. So sometimes people get on the official accounts and they're like, oh, you haven't commented this. So you know, a lot of times when you're talking about members of Congress, follow wherever you can. There's official accounts, there's unofficial accounts. So, you know, look at what content you're looking for. And of course, especially if you're in Louisville or in Kentucky, never hesitate to reach out and contact us at the office, especially if you need anything.
Perfect. Incredible. Love it.
Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.